And we're back. It's the Tater Report. That was Bob Dylan. And, of course, we were speaking to Rabbi David Miviser, for whom we have a lot of respect. I don't know how he does it, actually. I didn't want to talk to him about how his health is doing, but he's in Washington. He was there when they... I think he was among the people that they detained. He got the figure right. I said 500. He said 3. But... that's in Washington a week ago. That's stressful. It's stressful. And all this stuff, we're in an environment now of really intense strain for many people. And Rabbi Miviser has really shown what they call courage of his convictions. And he showed up to the legislature for JAMA. And... he, of course, is now he's going to this book event. He was at this morning at 8 o'clock. He comes from Hamilton. He was at that. And good for them. You know what they were thinking on strategically? That's rush hour, right? Bloor and University can be rather busy. So they did what would have the most impact rather than say, well, let's wait till Saturday or late afternoon. No. This is urgent. And if whatever your convictions, you're going to have to express them. Let's talk about this thing of what actually is going on. On the matter of the convoys, or they call them convoys, anyway, trucks, the aid, to me it's almost a hoax because... northern Gaza City, is being blasted. It was blasted last night. I mean, they're not actually covering. There's no journalists there. These people have run out of power. There's no hookups, and what we get is sketchy information. But we do know from states in the region and from Israel itself that the bombing is continuing. It was actually heavier in the last 48 hours than previous. And then, so Biden, who doesn't want to be trampled to death by people upset over this and angry, he goes to a little meeting and he says, well, we think they should have a corridor or there should be a supply. But there's no call for the ceasefire, so nobody driving a truck is going to go into Gaza City if there's bombing. What's the point? What, it's just to go and be blown to smithereens? And I read the Israeli military, and it's right here in front of me. Here's what they said. This is from the BBC, so it must be true. Has the BBC ever lied? No, they get absolutely right. So anyway, the BBC reports, Israel's military said aid was for southern Gaza only. Southern Gaza only. And repeated calls for residents in the northern Gaza Strip to leave their homes. In other words, ethnic cleansing. They're moving, that's population removal. Here's a quote. They should move south of Wadi Gaza in the center of the territory, it said. This is Israeli military. Move south of the Wadi Gaza in the center of the territory. now, and by the way, in that BBC story, they followed that with a comment from President Sisi of Egypt with the word however, and it says however. Sisi said his country would not allow Palestinians to be displaced across the Rafah crossing into Egypt. That's not germane to the point. They said that they have to go south of Wadi Gaza, which is the center of Gaza. And that's not Egypt. That's southern Gaza. So I've seen people who work for the various, like the World Health Organization or whatnot, speaking of the facts are a lot more important than all the heat and all this talk about, oh, I feel better. So you're supposed to, it's like reducing temperature. World temperature, political temperature, was rising to dangerous levels because people said you can't deny them food and water. And so they said, well, okay, trucks will cross. And then they said 17 trucks today. None of them went north of the Wadi Gaza. I'm telling you, I'm not reporting. I'm telling you, it's not possible. Because Israel says they can't go there. And the people have to go to get the aid. So to me, it is one of the areas where we're being badly informed or misinformed. We all understand, by the way, that 200 trucks at this point is like a drop in a bucket. And for food to actually, and medicine to reach, water to reach those who need it, would have to be a 24-hour operation. You don't knock off at sundown and start tomorrow and the next day. You actually have to be moving. But that takes some kind of international agreement. And Canada is not calling on Israel to stop the bombing so that the food, medicine, etc. can be delivered. They're not doing that. So what we have is just mealy-mouthed hypocrites, liars, who are pretending they care about the humanitarian interests. And we have, they've been showing him a lot, this general, his name is Gallant. Gallant, General Gallant, saying there will be a total siege. No food, no water, no medicines, and no power. By the way, even the Americans admit that the power part, by the way, there's no fuel. So this agreement to bring food, water across the Rafah border, the Egyptian border, did not include the fuel so that they can run generators and whatnot. They need that to desalinize water so that you can drink. So, and that general, Gallant, said, these are animals, human animals. So I don't understand why our moral leaders, you know, our Western values people, Chrystia Freeland, Trudeau, can't you say to the Israelis, you have a commanding officer who says who calls the Palestinians animals. He didn't say a name of an organization. He said they are animals, and we're going to put a total siege. Siege is primitive, extremely primitive way to harm people. The concept being that you basically starve them out. That we do have laws of war. We do have international policies. He's in complete violation. By the way, I don't understand how you have a general who's that irresponsible, who's that mad when he talks. It's not an encouraging sign. But the darkness of here is, why do we associate with him? Why doesn't somebody say, this guy is way off? Instead, we have reporters who go and stand beside him while he talks to his troops now about how they're going to go into Gaza, which I would think, from a military point of view, may not turn out to be the picnic that they think it's going to be. Also, I wouldn't want a commander who was, as far as I know, he was on guard duty on October 7. The first question, if you're the boss, you say, well, where the hell was our people? And the answer has to come back, well, it was so-and-so. Well, was he What did he do? He failed. So now we have the guy who failed in guard duty is telling everybody, oh, I'm going to go and do this. And then Canadian reporters, American reporters, and other nitwits put the microphone in front of these people and say, oh, you know, or they turn, look into the camera and say, Israeli intelligence. Where were they on October 7? Where were they? And now they're telling you things that you wouldn't dispute it because that's called Israeli intelligence. It's like this game they play here with CSIS, and in the U.S. they call it Homeland Security, whatever. They're continually making statements like they're in the clouds with Zeus. And then when you say, well, how do you know that? They say, well, we can't tell you because, of course, we're super secret, you know. To which an ordinary person with any self-respect would say, then I don't believe you. I don't believe you. So go and give your pronouncements to somewhere else. And which I think is what's beginning to happen. But to return to that point, the Israeli military says the aid has to be at that Wadi Gaza. And it fits with a plan to remove the Palestinians from northern Gaza completely. It's going to be a population transfer. It's called ethnic cleansing. It's a crime. Whether they get away with it or not, I don't know. But if you follow it, people who don't really want to help, want to make as much trouble as they can, say, well, why doesn't Sisi of Egypt open his border? Well, because he knows that if they leave Gaza, they will not go back. Because the Israelis haven't, there's no commitment that they will come back. They haven't said, and by the way, you know, as soon as this thing's over, you'll come back. No. They didn't say that. What they're doing, they build tents in southern half of Gaza, and then they put the aid there and say, come and get it. If you want food, it's over here. You'll have to leave there, come here. And it's like, you know, luring people into being eliminated as a population in the region. So, anyway, that's a skeptical note, which I haven't seen many people cover. I have heard a couple of, I think it was a woman speaking for the World Health Organization, but she said that was her impression of what this was all about. There's another odd angle that I think ought to be talked about, is that we have this funny lockjaw, burning-eyed statement from each leader, Biden, Trudeau, Macron, and all this, is that we're standing with Israel on this. And that their target is a political organization called Hamas. By the way, it is a political organization. I don't understand. There's another problem. If you're going to distribute, and I'll tie it to the other issue, if you're going to distribute food and aid is going to reach Gaza, any part of it, the political authority, the administration, people who run government areas of Gaza are from Hamas. So if you say, well, we're going to kill every last one of them, they're not actually soldiers. The administrators are just administrators, people who, and at one point in history, they had a reputation for being a little more honest than the other Palestinian leaders. That's why they, in 2007, they won an election. I know it's, some people now want to say, maybe it was fixed. I've never heard of an election yet that people didn't say it was fixed. Somebody didn't. But it was clear that they had enjoyed a degree of popularity, and it was gave them their initial impetus of authority is in Gaza, was that they were efficient and honest. They had a reputation. Which, so when someone is voting, they say, I want the guy who actually delivers those things, or doesn't ask me for money on the side. Okay, that's who I vote for. Also, if you say the election was close, that means that it probably almost half of the population belonged to other political movements. But here we have this encapsulation, which causes the Israelis and their enablers, Canada, the United States, primarily the United States, to just say, "Well, we're not having any dealings with." Well, how are you going to then distribute anything? And they say it mustn't be touched. Any aid can't be touched by Hamas. So you're saying the civil administration can't do anything. So you create an impossibility, and that's your position. Oh, well, we want to give them all the aid, but none of it can go to Hamas. Well, that isn't how it works. And it's a deliberate misrepresentation. People want to depoliticize. They want to pretend that there's just a terror group, and then there's just a population. And instead, you actually had something, a civil administration been there a long time. So the other part of this is, that I find striking, is that they say, Washington says, and Tel Aviv always says, Netanyahu and his administration. They have a drumbeat, Iran, Iran, Iran. This is Iran-backed. These are pawns, etc. Well, okay, here's my question for these guys. How come there is the spokesperson or leader, I'm not sure, he might be the leader of Hamas, is in Qatar. And the United States is thanking Qatar for its assistance in these matters. The leader is not in Tehran. The leader of Hamas, they tell us, authoritatively, the BBC, New York Times, the leader is in Qatar. What is Qatar? Qatar is listed by the U.S. State Department as a strategic ally. Qatar is a strategic ally of the United States. And the leader of Hamas is in Qatar, not in Iran, Qatar. And here's the other point. They're in talking to him. So when they say, we're going to just tear these guys up. Two people were released. Two hostages were released. Qatar and the leader there arranged that. So who was talking to Hamas? Minimally the U.S. Why is this talk about Iran? Of course, Iran has a position. They have a point of view. But the strategic partner of the United States, and when I say strategic partner, understand the United States has an Air Force base in Qatar. And the term is forward base, the forward base of U.S. military operations in the Gulf is Qatar. And from Qatar, the U.S. uses drones and planes and fire missiles that strike Iraq and Syria. So they're busy there. Which tells me, okay, so in fact, there are talks. In fact, there are talks. Because two people were released, and it was Qatar that got the thank you from the Americans. So Now we have an operation they claim is, you know, massing. They've been massing now for a while. It's not a good idea to have your troops standing around, but that's their problem. So they're massing. But there are, and the number of hostages we're being told about is actually getting bigger. Remember when it was 190? Now it's 220. And we have heard from Israeli leaders, I don't know which one is, if they were, there's a lot of people sound off and you don't know how much authority they have, saying the issue of the hostages is of secondary importance, which means too bad for them, frankly. That's what it means. we have been told that some hostages have been killed in a bombing. I don't know how they couldn't have been, given the intensity. Why aren't people here asking to have a ceasefire, among other reasons, so that the hostages can be moved to safety? And why don't they just say outright that they don't care? If they don't care, go ahead and say so. But instead, we get this thing where you casually talk about hostages, 220, and the military is talking about attacking. How in the world can you safely remove people? And since it's been shown that they could be, why not just continue with the talks and with your friends in Qatar, strategic friend in Qatar, go ahead and have the talks, because that's what you're doing. Why not tell the people that that's what you're doing, and then expand it to what would it take to get all of them safely out? And meanwhile, by the way, stop bombing civilians. Don't bomb civilians. There is no way you can rationalize this nighttime bombing of people with no air defense. And I would urge him to stop writing headlines that say Israel versus Hamas, because this is Israel versus Gaza. The family that gets blown to smithereens, and by the way, we have now many Canadians coming forward, they're losing loved ones here. They're being blown up. They're not combatants. So that kind of attack actually can't be justified, and you certainly can't call it a war on the a war with Hamas. In military terms, you're actually fighting the Al-Qassam Brigade. Is that the name you recognize? So that's actually who you're fighting. So if you say Hamas, you've actually redefined targets. And somebody said, we were targeting Hamas. Well, that, do you mean the mayor of a village? Do you mean somebody who was in charge of administering, in charge of the education department? Because he's a member of Hamas. So that's who you... because the Al-Qassam Brigade is an identifiable fighting group. If you're fighting them, say so. But to say you're fighting Hamas, it's a distortion. And when the media helps with these kinds of distortions, they put more lives at risk and jeopardy. At any rate, this is, I'll just tell you, remind you, this is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT 89.5. We're really pleased and proud that we spoke to Rabbi David Miviser. He's really been an exemplary individual, in my opinion. And, of course, the Independent Jewish Voices have been good. Now, we haven't talked about the demonstrations. And, Phil, I want to make sure we get you in this. There were very large demonstrations in London, Paris, by the way, a week ago, the government said you can't demonstrate. Now they're saying, yeah, okay, you can demonstrate. The president of Colombia said that if you refer to humans as animals, then you are someone in power. You are a murderer. I think that was helpful. I mentioned already the government of Spain said is talking about breaking relations. So this is bigger than a lot of people will realize. But here we've had some interesting developments. Let's talk about unions. Unifor issued a good statement. They called for a ceasefire.
Yes, they did. We have it here.
And what do they say? You can just characterize it if you like.
Unifor appeals for an immediate end to violence in Israel and Gaza, to avert a humanitarian catastrophe. And Unifor joins the international community in expressing the profound grief at the mounting loss of life in Israel and Gaza and urgently calling for an end to violence. To date, thousands have been killed, including an increasing number of children, and many more are wounded. We strongly condemn the attacks that have been recently perpetuated against Israeli civilians and the use of hostages by Hamas to achieve political gains, but retaliation against a Palestinian civilian population is not the answer and must stop immediately. A humanitarian crisis is unfolding as innocent civilians lose access to food, water, medicine, supplies, and electricity. Already, hundreds of thousands of Palestinians from Gaza have been forcibly displaced from their homes. Mm. Yeah, you know, people say innocent civilians. Civilians are by their nature innocent, right? They're not participants in armed combat. They're bystanders, and they're in the way, you know. Yeah. And it depends on the morality of the army that's fighting.
It's very primitive talk to say, well, we're, you know, take them all out. You know, we heard it.
We hear that rhetoric all the time.
You remember during the Vietnam War, American soldiers and Marines and others were quoted. They say, I'm going to kill them all and let God sort them out.
Right. Yeah. And that morphed into, by the way, well, nuke them and let God sort them out. Yeah, so you used to hear people saying that too. You know?
Yeah. It was shocking. I heard the former Prime Minister of Israel, I think his name is Bennett, or Barrett, you tell me, Bennett.
I think it's Bennett, yeah.
Yeah, so he said, he made the comparison to Dresden. And on the day that he did, the Israeli ambassador to one of the countries was interviewed on Sky News, and she said Dresden. And a third individual representing Israel said, on the same day. So you say, okay, somebody got the message, talking points. I don't know. Anyway, I suspect some Canadian politicians took the same story. But you know what they were trying to say was, okay, you bombed a defenseless city, and that's how you won the war. I mean, that's like, I heard them making the argument. That's a lie. They didn't. That's not how they won the war.
No.
That bombing Dresden strengthened German sense of resistance. This has been talked about over and over. You bomb cities, you strengthen the will of the people to resist you. Because they see, he's coming to kill me. Well, I may as well support. I didn't like so-and-so. I didn't like the army. But what am I going to do? Now they're attacking me. And so to bring in Dresden, for crying out loud, that was a crime. And it did not contribute to the victory.
Not at all. In fact, many of the dead in Dresden were internal refugees who were on the road. Right. These were people with no power, no authority, and not necessarily friends of the state. You know, and they died under the British bombs.
Yeah, violating an old military principle, which is if the guy is running, let him run. Yeah. You know, but they said, no, I'm going to run after him and kill him. Yeah. So you see, that's when you cross over to being kind of inhumane, to put it mildly, but also strategically, you're an idiot. That is bad military logic, but I'm not surprised because there's so much, so many steps being taken that strike me as having no military logic at all. It's a bloodlust of some type. And That we should be identifying that more. Now, by the way, the leading trade unions of Quebec, the two largest, both took a position on this matter, calling for ceasefire. But I will give it to Jagmeet Singh. I know that many people are frustrated with him. I know that on Saturday there was a speech at on University Avenue by Sid Ryan, and I think Sid is an ideal speaker on this issue, and he's a very brave fellow. And he was on. He said he was ashamed of the NDP, and I agree with him on this. Here's how I think it should be formulated. That ought to be the splitting issue. Everybody says, well, why does Singh stay with the Liberals? He ought to say, this is it. No more. These people are under being bombed, obliterated. You know, the Al-Quds Hospital was warned just a day or two ago. We're not talking about the last week where the 500 people were killed in another hospital, which you know, the NATO gang all lined up and said, oh, they believe the Israeli intelligence. I've already told you, Israeli intelligence was sound asleep on October 7th. So I don't understand how come you think they're so bright. But it just shows that we're getting into a nasty corner with this. But Jagmeet should say, because this isn't this a matter of conscience? These people are being told officially that you won't get water, you won't get food, it's going to be a total siege. So Jagmeet should say, we need a ceasefire and supply the food and water. And I'm out of here with the Trudeau government if they don't say ceasefire. Now, let's remember, by the way, that no Canadian government can tell Joe Biden that they're going to differ with him. They're going to do what Joe asks. And when they say, for example, we don't want Trump. Well, you did what Trump asked. You called him, in every cartoon, he is depicted as a beast from the wildest jungle. But he called up and said, I want you to arrest this woman from Huawei. Just hold her for me and destroy that part of your economy. Rip up all that your deals with that company, you Canada. Just do that. And we did it. Trudeau said, yes, sir. And they did every stupid thing possible to just undermine a company that was providing jobs, opportunity, and everything else here. And so now they say, oh, we don't want him. Well, you got Biden, and Biden tells you what to do. But if the NDP wants to survive as a credible operation during this historical episode, I think they have to say, this is it. If the government's not going to call for a ceasefire, we're out of here. That should be the end of it. It'd be far more more gravitas than to be arguing about, well, are you going to provide dental for people out of a certain category. That is so selfish and so narrow when you have a war and peace issue and survival of people. So, there was a big demonstration here Saturday. And I was going to say to Rabbi Mevisser, it is heartening that two or three of the main speakers were Jewish, came from Jewish organizations. Nobody booed them. Nobody said, you're not welcome. Everybody was enthusiastic that they were there. This is a humanity question. Where is your humanity? And people, Muslims, Christians, and Jews were united there in the streets on University Avenue. And there was a larger demonstration yesterday in Montreal. I was speaking to somebody there today, and they said the street was so crammed that you couldn't move. You couldn't get, from one place to the other. So, at any rate, this is where we are with this. We have to say the aid at this point is actually an insult because it's not actually going to Gaza City. There is no ceasefire. And they're trying to use, the Israelis say they want the aid to be in central Gaza, which means that the people have to move. And that is population removal. And they say you can't talk to Hamas. And Hamas is with Iran, when in fact the leader of Hamas is in Qatar, a strategic ally of the United States, just to stress that over and over. I hope people will go to all the various sites, follow the journalists on this. I often go to this right angry Arab, the professor in California, who is wonderful at summarizing the information from the Arab language media. We need to know what the name Hezbollah is coming up. We probably in the next couple of days, there's going to be more on that business. Hezbollah is quite able to look after itself. My suspicion is that if Israel wants to fight with Hezbollah, they'll have to go to Lebanon, and they wish they hadn't gone, as they previously found out. I think that, as the song said, times are changing, and there's a new alignment of forces, and it's not going to just be as previously advertised. So anyway, let's have a ceasefire. I think we have a few minutes left. Phil, who comes up?
So Tracks from Abroad will be up next on CIUT 89.5 FM Toronto.
Well, thanks for that. This is Taylor Report. See you next week.